Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's Austrian Wine Time Masterclass with Christina Netzel. My name is Antoinette Landejean from Cork and Fork in Washington, D.C. We are a premium wine store founded by a multi-generational flying winemaker originally from Champagne, France. I am delighted to introduce today's producer, Netzel Winery. Christina Netzel began her path towards winemaking as a young girl, working on her family's farm and vineyard with her parents and grandparents. Her parents later focused the family business solely on grape growing and winemaking, building the winery up to the 28 hectares they operate today. Christina studied enology along with wine management in Austria. She also interned in London, one of the greatest wine hubs on the planet, where she got to know wine styles from all over the world. In 2007, she returned to the winery to work with her parents, and after having three children, became passionate about sustainable viticulture for the next generation. Her elevated vineyard management style includes great care of the soils and the elimination of synthetic plant treatments, both executed with the goal of showcasing the terroir of the region. For those joining us live, we'd love to hear from you. Place your questions in the Q&A and we will get to them time allowing. Since our guests are joining us live from Austria, quite a few hours ahead of us here in the United States, we will move immediately into the presentation. First, we will pass the microphone over to Klaus Wittauer, owner of KW Selections, importer of some of the finest wines of Austria for the past two decades. Klaus, whenever you're ready.
I am ready. Thank you, Antoinette. And as I was listening to your introduction here, I was just trying to think back when Christina and I hooked up, because 2007, you said she returned from school. And I think that was right around the time, because Christina, didn't you go to school with Anna Steininger?
Yeah, right. And this is why we met, actually.
Yeah, so why? Time is flying, because I remember you were this young, beautiful lady and met, and now you are a mother of three children, three daughters.
Yeah.
And your father has two daughters. He's the luckiest person in the world, huh? All ladies in his family. Plus, he adores your mother too. So, I'm going to go into my little presentation. I might try something different today and go out of the screen share in between, because sometimes I like to see faces. But Christina Netzel, of course, in the Carnuntum region, is a winery in Austria, very famous. And we're still trying to get you the same fame here in the United States. Carnuntum starts way back. I think this is one of the largest or second largest Roman city during the Caesar, or 2000 years ago. This is the Heidador. This is the entrance to the city, and it actually was bigger than Wien, or Vienna didn't even exist when Carnuntum was established. And there we have the area Carnuntum. Christina is always very organized when we come and visit. So today, I don't think I have to do too much talking, because the tasting is set up. I already put myself a glass of the Grüner Veltliner. And then I have to admit, because I'm a lousy liar, I didn't get the Chardonnay. I could have just faked it, but I don't do that. I can't do that. But the Chardonnay I love. And then we do three red wines. Again, Carnuntum, even though we are a white wine country, we actually do quite a bit of red wine in Austria, and especially in the Carnuntum, and the Netzel family is very Zweigel oriented. And then I get the word right over to Christina. And Christina, you can start talking to us about your estate, beautiful winery, history, and the wine while I sit back and relax. And Nick, yes, Grüner Veltliner is the first wine to start out. So, Christina, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the invitation and the possibility to show our wines. I'm really happy to be part of the tasting today. Yeah, as mentioned at the beginning, we are a family-run winery. So I'm running the winery in Etzel, which is actually our family name together with my parents, Franz and Christina. And I'm Christina. We are we are producing wines from the 28 hectares here in the very east wine growing region called Carnuntum in Lower Austria. We are actually on the border to Slovakia and Hungary, located next to the Pannonian area, to the Pannonian climate. So Austria is definitely a cool climate wine growing region. However, Carnuntum is one of the warmer regions in Austria, or we are right in the middle of the warmer climates in Burgenland, and the cooler impacts coming from the northern region, from the northern area and the River Danube. The first wine we are showing is our Grüne Veltliner, which is, of course, it's the most important Austrian grape variety. And although, as Klaus mentioned, we are mainly focusing on red wine production, so two-thirds of our production is actually red wines, we are still very keen on the traditional Grüne Veltliner grape. It is one of the most typical grapes in our area too. However, we are producing a very balanced style of Grüne Veltliner, as we have these warmer impacts from the southeastern area, from the Hungarian Pannonian lowland. So the area in Carnuntum is dominated by gravelly, lössy soils. And actually these soils are impacting the style of our Grüne Veltliner. We are showing the Grüne Veltliner Carnuntum DSC, the Carnuntum classic wine. It's a regional wine, showing the typicity of Grüne Veltliner grown in Carnuntum, which means ripe fruit style. So we have nice ripe apples. However, you still have the impact of the peppery, spicy aromas on the palate. It's a great combination of warm climate impact and cooler aspects coming from the northern area. We produce it in stainless steel tanks, so it's a very traditional classic vinification, focusing on the fresh and fizzy style of Grüne Veltliner, which we like. The acidity is very balanced due to the warmer impacts coming from southeast, but it's still very lively due to the cooler winds coming from the northern area. So here you have a few facts about our Grüne Veltliner, about the analytics and so on. And it's a very traditional classic Austrian white grape variety. So it is perfect to pair it with a traditional Austrian food like the Wiener Schnitzel, or which is great now because we have the season of asparagus right now here. So it is a perfect wine to match with asparagus meals, with the classic traditional food. However, it's great to have it with fish, for example, sushi. So the raw fish, it's a great wine to pair with that food styles.
Yeah, Nick, I think you guys have been quite successful with this Netzel Grüne Veltliner. I think it's almost out of stock.
The last 2 years, this wine has been sought after by so many people in the Metro DC area because it's got such a distinctive pop to it. Again, beautiful, beautiful fruit, the right amount of spice, that white pepper is there, but it's that very attractive, spicy, warm essence that flows through the wine. So again, you just keep wanting to drink it. And as Christina said, it is a wonderful wine with sushi, but we found a lot of success in the area where you find a lot of Asian restaurants. And Chinese restaurants are loving this one and the Chardonnay that she produces, because it allows really bold and vibrant flavors or really fresh flavors to not be overpowered. And it settles right up next to them to complement them. It's such a great wine.
Yeah, I think it had a lot to do with the warmer climate here in the Carnuntum, which makes this Grüne Veltliner that really temperature differences with day and night. And we're going to see it on the next wine even more so on the Chardonnay. That little tropical fruit played in with just the right amount of acidity. It's just a pleasure to drink and easy. So again, Grüner Veltliner, of course, Austria's most important grape variety, grown Lower Austria, where the Carnuntum region, when we go into the map, you will see it's kind of sometimes that wine region, they forget about Carnuntum. And that's why we have Christina here on this call, because she is working very hard to get Carnuntum on the map. And of course, again, here's a little map of Austria, where I always say we are east of Paris. Wien is Vienna. And of course, Austria has this Banderol, where we make some of the strictest wine laws in the world. And we are really separating ourselves from the German wine laws, where they used to say the Kabinett, Spätlese and Auslese, and the wines were designated by ripeness. No, we are very much going into a location, District Austrias Controllatus, which we call the DAC, where we're really emphasizing more so on where are the grapes grown. And Carnuntum has been a member as 2019, right, Christina?
Yeah, we invented our DAC system with the vintage 2019.
Yeah. Vintage 2019, yeah. So here's the little map again. Wien, Vienna, eastern part of Austria is where we have the wine regions. So the Danube, second longest river in Europe, comes in to Austria a little north from my home, Salzburg, by Braunau, goes through Linz and then enters into the Wachau, goes, this is all Niederösterreich, Lower Austria, because it's the lower part of the Danube. And it goes through Vienna and then really through Carnuntum. And that river, Danube, and the Lake Neusiedlersee, that really influences the climate in the Carnuntum, which Christina will explain a little bit more as we go on here with our presentation. So here, Christina, I'll give the microphone back to you to tell us a little bit about the pyramid. And you're very much involved with Mr. Mosbrucker, who flies his plane to Carnuntum and has some meetings with you, I hear.
The Austrian DAC system, or system of origin, actually was started 15 years ago, and Carnuntum is one of the smallest regions in Austria, so we only have 900 hectares in total here in our region, and we are located on the very east border of Lower Austria, producing mainly red wines. So as Klaus mentioned, almost everybody is still forgetting about us, and it was a very long and hard way for us to find our own system, how we want to show our typicity of the region, as we are located right in the middle of the continental and the Pannonian climate, and we have this very unique conditions here. It was really important for us to show the diversity of our wine styles in our system of origin. To call it like that, because the DSC actually is formed to show the typicity of the region. And so we decided to invent a pyramid of origin, which is including regional wines, village wines, and single vineyard wines, which is nothing new, actually. It's the same system which is used in so many old world countries of France and Italy. And We just took the same system and put our wines into it, when you want to call it like that. So we actually started on the top of the pyramid with the single vineyard wines, especially with the Premier Cru classified vineyards. So as Klaus mentioned, Michael Mosbrucker, he is the head of the Austrian traditional wineries, where we are members. And he is, or the goal of this group of winemakers is to classify the most important vineyards in Austria as Premier Cru vineyards. And actually, we started on top and focused on our style, on our most important and most typical styles of the region. So what is the region famous for? What are we famous for? What are the best wines? Showing which grapes we are using to produce our best wines. And we started on the very top of the pyramid, and then actually took the same idea and put it to the village wines and the regional wines. So what is typical Carnuntum? We, as mentioned, we wanted to include all the different styles we have, starting from the very classic regional wines to the single, to the specialties of the villages, and then to the single vineyard wines. We decided to include white wines and red wines, and we decided even to include plants being produced and the most traditional varieties. So the Austrian varieties are Grüne Veltliner and Zweigelt, of course. We decided to use Chardonnay and Pinot Blanc, Weiß Burgunder too, because the white Burgundian grape varieties are very important in our region due to the warmer weather impacts. And we have Zweigelt and Blaufränkisch and plants being based on these grape varieties. So here you see the map of our region. I like maps. I'm a big fan of maps, actually. And actually, this is the base. 15 years ago, we made a full scan of the region, of the geology of our region. And this was a very important base for our system of origin, for founding the system of origin, because here you see all the many influences we have in our region. In the middle of the map, you see the region around Göttlersbrunn. The orange parts are the vineyards, which is actually a chain of hills brought by the River Danube. It's a hillside full of gravel. You see the dots on the map, which are the gravels, the gravel terraces, which were brought by the ancient flow of the River Danube. The river changed its flow after there was a big change. The Alps, which are beginning in the north here, you can see the greenish part in the northern in the southern area, sorry, Klaus. Here are the Alps and the Carpathians, which are on the east of our region. They are connected beneath the earth, and they settled down 20 million years ago and left the basin where we are growing our wines now. And then the River Danube changed its flow and left the gravelly terraces where we are growing our wines. The grayish parts you can see here are the sediments of the ancient sea, of the Prealps and the Pannonian Sea, which flooded our region from time to time and left their sediments. And on top of it, there was the loess blown by the wind, which were brought from the Alps too, and the big loessy impact on the vineyards too. So we have the Lake Neusiedl in the southeast area of us, and the big Pannonian Hungarian lowland, which is bringing the very warm weather impacts. Actually, these are the Croatian Adriatic weather impacts, which are mainly influencing us and bringing all the warm air into our area. And then we have the cooler aspects and the cooler winds coming from the northern River Danube and the continental climate in the north and the big forests. There's a big forest on top of the hillside, and there is the big forest area, the flooding region, the national park along the river, which is also bringing very cool aspects to our region. And so we are right in the middle of these climates. We are one of the most windy areas in Austria. We have more than 300 windy days a year. So it's windy almost all of the year here, because it's that this is the combination of the warm and cooler impacts. There are heavy winds in between of it and the basin where we are located, actually. So this combination makes us quite unique, and the many different soil conditions we have is bringing a big diversity of different wine styles, which is starting from whites to reds, Grüne Veltliner, white Burgundian grape varieties, and going on then with the different red wine styles we are producing. And the second white wine we are tasting today, or we're showing today, is our Chardonnay. It's still Carnuntum regional style, which means a very Chardonnay is, as mentioned, a very important grape variety for us, because it feels very well in our region because of the warmer Pannonian weather impacts, because of the warm and very dry weather conditions in late summer and fall season. And because of the cooler winds and the big differences in temperature between day and night we are having here, we are facing here in our region, we get this very ripe style of Chardonnay, but still a crispy and fresh acidity on the palate, which is bringing a very balanced Chardonnay style. So we are producing our Chardonnay in stainless steel. There's no oak, no malolactic fermentation. It is a really, there's a big focus on typicity of the grape variety Chardonnay. We want to produce a very fruit-driven Chardonnay style because I think it's a great variety, bringing very multi-layered, complex, aromatic wines, showing a great minerality, which we get from the lower sediments of the ancient sea levels. And we are producing the Chardonnay mainly on the hillside, on the Altenberg, which is a gravelly hillside, and the Heidacker, which is gravel and loess mixture, actually. So we have pretty lean soils on top, and then the silty, limey soil conditions in the lower parts. Here we are on the Schüttenberg, which is one of the hillsides. It's actually the highest hill we have in Gottesbrunn. And you see the landscape, it's like soft rolling hills. Where we like to, it's just a very short walk up there to the hillside. It's a great overview to the region. We like to show the region over there, have a glass of wine. And you really feel the air, the windy region. You can feel all the aspects I just tried to explain when you are up there. And you feel why it's perfect for the white wines up there, actually.
Yeah, this is the Schüttenberg, and that's on top of the hill, where it's all kind of gravel. This is actually a little Syrah vineyard right here. Mm-hmm. And then left to the left over there, you have a little Gelber Muscadella. And then the Heidegger is kind of down there, more in the flat area where you have the loess sand, which of course is great for Zweigelt and also for Chardonnay and Grüner Veltliner. That gives that tropical fruit. So, and then there's a little signs where it tells you how many miles you go to America and to Japan and to all the different places of the world, because this is the center of the world. You know, when you're up there, there's nothing else. This is the center of the world, and you will never want to leave. Isn't that correct, Nick?
It's beautiful up there, just like this wine. I am amazed, Christina, every time we pop open one of your bottles of Chardonnay. It is so pure of fruit and character for Chardonnay. And to see you capture that better than so many people who have tried all over the world is really wonderful, because I think anybody can make big buttery malolactic Chardonnay, you know, scientifically created rather than vineyard created. And to be able to open up a bottle and see how fresh and how persistent the flavors linger on. And just to say, no, this is what Chardonnay is supposed to taste like. This is what you can do when you let the fruit shine. It's really, really fun to put this wine in front of anybody who's ever had a glass of Chardonnay and watch them go, oh, wow.
Yeah, and again, this is kind of secondary that it comes from Austria. It's just a damn good bottle of Chardonnay. That's it. And I was like, took me 10 years to convince myself that how good this wine is to actually bring it to America. Because I said, who wants a Chardonnay from Austria? Well, I always, Christina, I always liked it, didn't I?
You liked it, but you said I don't need Chardonnay, another Chardonnay in America.
But then finally you put it in a Chardonnay bottle for me, and now we're starting to sell it. So, you know, and it's really working well anymore, because we are sold out currently. And unfortunately, with our container being delayed, I think we just got a loading date, didn't we? You just delivered the wines to Firesprung, didn't you?
Yeah, we already delivered. Yeah, they are now waiting for the container loading.
They are on the way. The beautiful landscape and the soil, kind of where we're standing on top here, you got a lot of gravel because the Danube dropped the gravel. And that's also why you plant Syrah and certain grapes up there on the higher hillside. It's mm-hmm. the soil which determines what grapes you plant, right? It's not the market or the demand. It's really Then
the soil and the vineyard, yeah.
The vineyard, yeah. Silt and sand, you have that too in your area, don't you? Because you got that ocean on the flat area. Zweigelt likes that, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And silt is always a very cool impact to the wines. It's a cool soil condition. And when they are rooting very deep, you get some cooler aspects from the soil too. Gravel and sand is pretty hot, but silt is a very cool soil.
We don't have volcanic so much in your area. No, that's more down in Styria. But then this is, again, something quite heavily in the Carnuntum, especially in Gürtelsbrunn.
Mm-hmm. It's depending on the exposure of the hillside and the vineyard, of course. You can have some very high, less walls settled there by the wind. It's differing from vineyard to vineyard, but it's a very important soil we are working with, yeah.
Yeah, it drains really well. When it rains a lot, the water goes straight down. So the roots are really geared to grow as far down till they actually find water. So we have a really deep rooting system. And then at nighttime, the Lös kind of reflects a lot of the sun during the day. And that's why a lot of the Grüner Veltliner and the Chardonnay get that tropical fruit, that banana, pineapple, kind of influence because of that extension of the warm air and then the cool winds from the Danube and from the forest. And that's kind of what makes that harmony. I always say it's like, you know, we have musicians in Austria. When you talk to Mozart, I'm from Salzburg and Beethoven, and these wines are playing a symphony. That's Dudelös. You don't have Gneiss in your area. That's pretty much the Wachau Primstahl for Riesling. That's why we don't have Riesling in the Carnuntum, right? Because there is no Gneiss. And then Conglomerat, this is again more in the Kremstal too. So these are kind of the soil types, and that really brings the influence. And then I let you talk a little bit more to the organic farming. I even saw your dad and grandfather were always true to nature, but you really kind of took it to the next level when you came back from school. And kind of convinced your dad, or you didn't have to convince him much because he was with you.
Yeah, you're right. So we have always been a very small farm, and we used to be a mixed farm too. So we had animals, different kinds of animals and pigs, and we had the agricultural land and a little bit of wine growing and vineyards. And my grandfather always worked very close to nature, very sustainable, and my father too. It was really important for them to look after the land and the soils and everything like that. However, it was a very important aspect for me and my husband. He is a winemaker and wine grower too. To make the final step and to really get rid of all chemicals they didn't use any insecticides, but pesticides. Yeah, and so we got rid of all this stuff, and finally made the last step to follow all the organic guidelines or rules, and started to produce or to work fully 100% organic in 2013. Actually, with the birth of our second daughter, of course, the kids were influencing us too, because you're thinking quite a lot about future or future generations and so on. It was not a big step, but there's still always a risk left, and so my father was a little bit skeptic at the beginning, but finally he followed our ideas, and we decided to do the certification or start for the certification in 2018. So we will get our first certified organic vintage in 2021, this year, this vintage. However, we have been working due to organic guidelines now for 8 years. Yeah,
and you are a very keyed in of kind of keeping you make an organic side wines, natural type of wine, but you also want to keep the Netzel name really for your classified regional wines, which are standing for Carnuntum, which you've been working so hard for. And this is really also my focus, as you know me for quite a few years now, is that really I want to bring Austria up to the next level, not just that we are a country with some cheap Grüners, Grüner, or whatever, or groovy, or whatever people say about this, that we are actually on the same level as the French wines, as the Tuscan wines, as Piedmont. And that's really where you are. And that's why you want to really separate the two kind of more trendy wines versus the wines really which are true to the region and then the area. So I applaud you for that. And I'm happy to see, because a lot of my people want to see that organic certification. Tell you the truth, I don't give a shit about that. It's about the winemaker. It's the winery. That's who I care about. It's not about having an inspector to have to come in and inspect and another inspector, because that inspector knows less than you do. You know your land. You know that stuff. So let's go out to this and move and focus on the wines, because it's really red wines what you are all about. And it's the eastern side of Austria, Burgenland, and of course the Carnuntum, which is right above Burgenland, is where a lot of the red wines are produced. And as you said, this beautiful village of Gürtelsbrunn, which you call home. And we were just sitting on this side of the hill, looking down to the village. So I let you go back on. And this is kind of when you go into your winery, in the front, you know, the villages in Austria, all buildings are all together. They have big doors in the front, and then there's a little door within the big door. And then you go inside, and then there's a beautiful courtyard. And the reason they do that is also because Christina mentioned there's very high winds. So people want to protect themselves from the winds. And they have this little courtyard inside, and it's just absolutely gorgeous and wonderful. And then when you go through this courtyard, the family lives here. There's a new winery actually built here on the site right now. Christina, they just started this year. But you go through this cellar, and then when you come out in the back, you're right in the middle of the vineyards. This is kind of going through the cellar, and in the back is then these vineyards. And let's go to the next wine. And Christina, you tell us about the Zweigelt and the Cuvée and all the good stuff.
Thank you, Klaus. You saw the picture of Gürtelsbrunn before, so you saw the village being surrounded by the vineyards, and this is actually the region where we are growing our wines. They are all around the village of Gürtelsbrunn. It's an absolutely wine growing village with more than 20 wine producers. And here you see it again. So we are absolutely surrounded by the vineyards, and our vineyards are, so the forest vineyard is just 3 kilometers from the winery. So they are all very close. And that's an important factor too. We are harvesting, we do quite a lot of work by hand. Harvest is 100% done by hand, which is really important for me to really want to have or to work with healthy grapes, that the ways are not too far. I don't want to bring in fruit from anywhere, I don't know, hundreds of kilometers away, because I really want to work with the grapes as fast as possible from the vineyard, bring them to the cellar, have them healthy, and there's no damage and no mechanic damage on the berries, which is a very important aspect for me for the vinification too. So we are producing, for example, we are producing our own compost. Now we are bringing in our own compost to the vineyards. There are so many additional aspects we are doing additionally to the organic farming. As you said, it's not only the label put it the symbol, put it on the label. There are so many other factors. And at the beginning, I thought it's not important to have it written or stated on the label. However, so many customers are asking for it. And of course, if you're doing the work, you want to prove it or you want to show it somehow. So this is why we finally decided to do the certification for organic production. So the first wine, the first red wine, which is actually our main part of the production, 65% is red. And the very traditional first wine is our Carnuntum Cuvée. It's a blend being based on Zweigelt with Blaufränkisch and Merlot. And these three grape varieties actually are the main grape varieties, red grape varieties in Carnuntum. It is a very traditional vinification, which means fermentation in stainless steel. Maceration time is 2 weeks, so it's not too long. I don't want to have too high extraction because I really want to keep the fruit which we are getting from the grapes. It's a ripe fruit, but it's still fresh. It's not a cookie, jammy, aromatic. I'm not a fan of these styles. I really want to show a very fresh fruit style in the wines. And so we are aging it in big oak vats. They are up to 6,000 liters because I really want to keep this fruit-driven style. The wine is very complex and it is multi-layered because of the different varieties, but it's still fresh. It's still somehow easy drinking. It's a great food pairing wine for me because of the complexity, because of the soft and silky tannins. So we age it in the big oak vats for 6 months and have an aging on the lees and on the yeast for a while, but it's not too over extracted or too concentrated. I really want to focus on this fresh style. Again, it's a very typical style for Carnuntum to have a ripe fruit, but fresh fruit, you feel lots of peppery or spicy aromas on the palate. The tannins are very soft and silky and very good balanced and integrated, which is done by the Lercy soils too. So the Lercy is a very balanced soil and it is bringing very balanced conditions. And this is why the grapes and the wines are finally showing very balanced. And I think this is a very important factor in this wine too. So Carnuntum Cuvée.
So smooth, and a lot of times people chat when we are in the business, we always make the mistake, we pop the cork or we unscrew and we pour it and we decide within 5 seconds if we like the wine or if we don't like the wine. And even so, this is an entry-level wine. This wine likes a little air. This wine needs a little breathing to really show its full character, because as you just mentioned, even so it's an entry-level wine, you giving this wine a lot of attention. This is not just an entry-level wine. It's really good stuff. And 2018 was not an easy vintage.
And I want to interject here because, you know, everything that I've heard has been that 2018, you know, had maybe pushed some winemakers to the limits of some of their sanity in certain times. Christina, I have to say, this is my favorite version of this wine that I've seen you make so far. There is something special about this bottle, whether it be the aromatics, that little bit of spruce that's on the back end, that fruit that's so well integrated, but there seems to be more character. And this wine is more dynamic than I can ever recall tasting it. And from a problem vintage or one that maybe was not the easiest, wow. I mean, really, wow, Christina, this is something very special.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. It's maybe it needs some air because I like to work with the lees, with the yeast and the lees for a very long time. So we are doing just one racking and then keep the wine with the complete lees for the rest of the aging. So I don't want to clear it too early. For me, it's really important to have the impact of the lees. And the lees is making the wines more reductive. but it means that we need less sulfur because the lees is preventing oxidation too. And this is how the style is maybe a little bit more reductive and needs more air when opening it. 18 was challenging because it was one of the hottest vintages we experienced. We had a very early harvest starting in the middle of August because we had ripe grapes. And as mentioned, I don't want to have the overripe style or the jenny or cookie aromas, which you can easily get when the zweig is getting too hot or too overripe. And so we decided to start harvest earlier, and we had very hot temperatures, so up to 35 degrees Celsius during the day, which is exhausting for the team in the vineyard. And the grapes are getting very, very warm during the day. So we decided to start harvest as early as possible and to use the cooler temperatures of the night to have bringing in cooler grapes, because I want to have a very soft start of the fermentation. For me, it's really important that the fermentation is starting very slowly and very gentle. And there's not that high extractions after tannins, because I want the tannins to be integrated and balanced with the full wine. So when we get in too warm grapes, the fermentation would start too fast, and the extraction would be much higher compared to other vintages where the grapes are much cooler. But I think we did a good job. And as you mentioned, Nick, it is a very fruit-driven vintage. 18 is very fruity extract, very integrated, nice balanced tannins. I'm a fan of 18 too. I think it's showing really great. And this wine has now been bottled for a year. And you feel it is now getting much more balanced and open, showing more its typicity now.
And the 19 is not far away, because you guys are just about to release that in Austria. So this is really the hardest thing with Corona for me right now. I have not tasted any of the new wines. I haven't been in Austria for a year. It's terrible. So Zweigelt, there's a little part of Zweigelt in this cuvée. And Blaufränkisch was also in the cuvée, and actually St. Laurent and Blaufränkisch together became the Zweigelt grape. And you guys are kind of the master of the Zweigelt grape in Austria. When it comes to finding the best Zweigelt grapes, I have two names. One is Carnuntum and two is Netzel. So here we go, Christina, you take it from here. Or Nick, if you want to say anything now or later on, when we come to your goulash recipe, you can tell us about that too.
Actually, instead of me saying something, we had a question from the field, no pun intended. Mr. Ben Field actually wanted to know if there was any influence of the genetic connection between Zweigelt and Blaufränkisch that you think about when you're blending the wines. And I know we're about to go into one of my favorite Zweigelts and then one of my all-time favorite Austrian blends. So I'm not sure if you have an answer for that, but I figured I'd pose that question as we move on to our Ruben Zweigelt next.
So the question was if there is a, I didn't get it. It was a little bit too fast for me.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. And my German is horrible, so I'm much better asking in English. Is there a genetic connection, the genetic connection between Zweigelt and Blaufränkisch, does that influence how you blend the two together, or what do you have in mind when you're combining Zweigelt and Blaufränkisch when mixing the wines?
When we are blending wines, it's absolutely focusing on the wines and focusing on the wine styles and following the wines. It's got nothing to do with the genetic or something like that. It's just about style, taste. I'm following my senses when blending, nothing else.
Well, so keep it up. The next... it's working.
I think that's the, if you're able to do it, that's the best way you can do it. But it's just my idea for introduction. The next wine we are showing is the Rubin Canutum, which is a pure Zweigelt, and which is actually the most typical style of Zweigelt we are producing and we are showing in our region Canutum. So Zweigelt is our main grape variety with 50% of our production. And the Rubin Canutum is a brand of the region to show the most typical wine of Canutum. So the wine growers, the group of the wine growers, we are very a good group of wine growers, good colleagues, good friends, and they formed the brand Rubin Canutum 30 years ago actually, to bring a wine to the market showing the most typical style of Canutum. So it should integrate, you know, there's so much Zweigelt born in Austria. Klaus had the overview at the beginning, and it's 14% of the total production. So you find Zweigelt everywhere in Austria. But we are really focusing on this grape variety. It is really our most important grape, our most important wines. And we really want to show that the origin is a really important factor here too. And with the Rubin Canutum, we are showing the typicity of our region. So it's again, the very ripe cherry fruit, which is so typical Zweigelt. Dark cherry fruit aromas, and the combination with the peppery, spicy style on the palate. The tannins are always very well integrated. However, there's lots of peppery, spicy aromas, which is balancing the wine, which is actually the balance for the extract and the fruit. You need something to give something in combination, or to get multi layers to the wine and not just have the one dimension of extract and fruit. And that's the spice in the Zweigelt for me. You even can feel, I think, in this wine a little bit of this limey impact from the lower silky sediments from the ancient sea sediments. But it is mainly grown on the Lössi area, so it is a really balanced Zweigelt style. We age it in barriques, but in used barriques. You can see the cellar here on the picture. So we only use old barrels for the aging of the Rubin Canutum because we don't want to have them too heavily influenced to the wine. The fruit should be in front of the wine, should be the most important factor of the wine. Like the aging in the smaller vats, it's a little bit different to the aging in the big oak vats, and the development of the wine, it's just very important. So we age it for 10 months in the barriques with the lees. So as mentioned, there is just one racking after malolactic fermentation, and then it goes directly again to the small vats with the lees, a very intense contact with the lees. We are serving the goulash with the Rubin Canutum. My mother is actually, she's known for her goulash. Everybody is looking forward to her goulash at the trip all the time. I think sometimes they're looking more forward to the goulash than to the wines.
No, that is not true. That is not true. We come only for the wine to see you. And the goulash is just a bonus. It's a very good bonus. And I remember your mom telling me one time, you know, we have cooked this for so many times. I would like to cook something different. And I like, what do I tell her? Everybody wants the goulash. I know she can cook a lot of other great dishes too, but you know, now it is the best goulash in the world. And keep cooking the goulash for us. There's not many wines. Normally I drink beer with goulash, but I would say that Rubin Canutum, you know, anything with tomato and spicy, and it's such a great food wine. And when a wine can go with goulash, it has to be a good wine. I mean, what else can it be? I mean, you have to have a little flavor to stand up to the Hungarian paprika, which is not as aggressive. There's a nice little sweetness to it too. So it just works. So I know, Nick, you like the goulash too, and you have a good friend who actually brings a to-go box when we go to the winery sometimes.
I think everyone wants to get the goulash to go if we could. I have some of my favorite memories of drinking these wines, both in your cellar and with the goulash and with your dad, and even fortunate enough to have a beer and goulash with your dad. It is always one of the highlights of the trip. And I have to say, I have never, as much as a fan I was of Zweigelt, I had never seen it go to such heights as you're able to pull from that grape. And the Reuben, which is beautiful, and the Heidecker, which blows my mind, and everything else that you know, you do above that, really show the range that Zweigelt can have when you have the growing conditions and the uniqueness of your area. I mean, really, everybody thinks of cool climate, you know, kind of flavorful, but not powerful Austrian wines. And yet you have everything. You have layers, you have elegance, you have power, you have really just really profound reds that really can't be found anywhere else in Austria. It's very fun. And yes, please keep making the goulash and please invite us back to drink wine with it.
Yeah, and then here you have the picture of the cowboy of the Carnuntum. And Christina was very modest when she was saying, you know, about the starting of the Reuben Carnuntum brand, because her dad was a founding member of that whole organization and headed that real quality driven. And if you talk about village Gürtelsbrunn, and if you take the biggest Falstaff, which is Austria's main magazine, and year after year, when you add up the points from the wineries of Gürtelsbrunn, the rest of Austria cannot, not even the Wachau can have as many points as you guys from that small village Gürtelsbrunn make every year. It's just amazing, but it's a reason because they all work together. So, you know, and then of course, I think your mom also gives him a you know, there's Christine and that's Christina. So, you know, this is, she was a sommelier, wasn't she, when she met her dad, your dad?
Afterwards she got the sommelier, but she's a very great taster. So she's perfect.
Yeah, she got the palate and she amazing. And of course you are here happy in your cellar because you are working in a cellar, and we're going to move into the next level of wine, which most of them are then always fermented in this big wooden fermenters. And again, Zweigelt, like Christina already mentioned, always hand harvest, no machines in these vineyards. It's, and here's a perfectly single grapes. Just, you know, not many people in Austria take as much attention to Zweigelt as you guys do. And here are the used barriques for the Reuben Carnuntum. And I know time is of an essence, so we have to move on to the creme de la creme, Austria's best red wine. In Italy, they make a wine called Sassacaia. And I would introduce this as the Austrian Sassacaia. So unfortunately, we cannot charge as much yet, but we're working on that, Christina. We are getting there.
Definitely. So, definitely.
Anna Christina, because I see your name in this wine.
Yeah, so we are finishing the tasting with one of our most important wines. It is called Anna Christina. My parents produced it the first time in 1999 and they named it after my sister and me. So my sister is Anna and I'm Christina, because it was the best wine they were producing, and we are still doing it. We are still producing it from the same vineyards, actually, Ried Bernreiser. So it is now a single vineyard wine, being a classified Premier Cru vineyard too. It is a very, very special wine for us, dominating the whole production every year. Yeah, we got some very great ratings in Austria and internationally now too, which is, yeah, just always good to see as a winemaker to get this great feedback. With the 2018, we even got 97 points, which is, just wow, outstanding. And the Ried Bernreiser is actually the origin of the wine. It is the vineyard where we are growing the wine. It's a very special place. It is one of the warmest places we have in our region. And my parents decided to produce Zweigelt, a plant there, which is based on Zweigelt. So 65% of the wine is Zweigelt. And then we add Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon. Because the vineyard itself, the Bernreiser, is one of the hottest, warmest. It is sandy, less gravel on the top. It is very pure, very lean, mainly influenced by the Pannonian lowland, having this warm weather impact. And therefore, it is great to express all the complexity and the characteristic of this vineyard with the blend, with the different grape varieties. In the lower parts, then we have again the sediments of the sea, the silty sediments and the cooler aspects. But the wines, they really have to work hard. They have to root very deep to get to these more cooler and to the cooler layers. And there is no irrigation, so we don't irrigate at all in our region, because we want them to finally reach these silty layers in the lower parts of the soil. What we are doing here is we are producing it without any pumping in the cellar. You saw the pictures before. So we don't use any pumps. We bring in the grapes to the wooden fermenters, or the berries to the wooden fermenters, without any crushing or any mechanic damage. I want to have the whole berries, so we have a very soft and gentle and slow fermentation setting, bringing a very fruit-driven style, but bringing very silky tannin structure, which is a silky tannin structure, which is very important for me. The tannin structure should be very balanced, and it should never be too rough or too hard or too over dominating the wine. And after maceration time on the mash, we do malolactic fermentation in the barriques, in the 225-liter oak barrels, and finally 18 months ripening section on with the lees in the barriques too. A very long contact with the lees, very, very special wine from a very special place for us. Anna Christina, we are really happy that we have finally had the Premier Cru classification too for this wine, because it really shows the importance of the vineyard and of the origin of the wine. The Rubin Carnuntum before was the great food pairing wine, or the very, I like Zweigel and Rubin Carnuntum because it is such a great food wine in all aspects. So you can pair it with so many different dishes. Anna Christina or Riet Bernreiser is now a very complex wine, which you perfectly can enjoy on itself, I think, because it is showing so many different layers. It is such a complex wine. Give it time in the glass to develop, give it time to open and to speak, to show its characteristic, because it is so interesting to follow it a few hours, of course, or a few minutes, and see how it's developing in the glass. It is vintage 2017, which is still very young. Here you can see the vineyard now. So the vineyard is really facing the Pannonian lowland. And the back, you see the Pannonian flat lowland with the wind turbines, showing the windy area, and the vineyard of Bernreiser, just a very, very special and magic place for us, where we are really growing our most important wine.
These are all your vineyards, right? You own
vineyard. All of them. but you can see we planted the new Blaufränkisch, the young Blaufränkisch vineyard, which is right in the middle here. Yeah, you can see the brown part, because it's still young. It's now 4 years old only.
I mean this as a sincere compliment of the highest level, Christina. Not many bottles of wine make me feel guilty for opening them young, except yours does every single time. I know I enjoy it so much when I drink it, but every time I open a bottle, I think to myself, my goodness, this will have such a long life, and this will cellar forever and ever and ever. And yet, I'm always going to be guilty about it, but I'm never going to regret opening up a single bottle.
Yeah, please don't regret opening a bottle. That's not a good sign.
Probably.
But yeah, of course, definitely. It's a wine. It's a very long-lasting wine, and you can easily age it.
Your husband's hometown is in Höflein, right?
Yep.
And Bernreiser's vineyard is close to Höflein, and he is the guy responsible for driving the tractor in the vineyards. So I think he drives in this vineyard quite often. He makes sure that this is always the perfect, because a happy wife means a happy life.
You see, you see the border, you see the border between Göttlersbrunn and Türfein.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, yeah. So Benreise is the first vineyard which is already located in Höflein.
And that's where you met your husband, right?
Yeah, in the middle, just between Göttlersbrunn and Höflein, on the border. This is why this place is so magic.
It's all in the wine. And here, you know, when I first was talking about Michael Mosbrucker and, you know, the DAC, what's really what they are doing and what Christina is a big part of it, and they wanted to bring a red wine area into that Donauland Danube association as well. So it's Traditions Weingüter of Austria. And we don't have a Grand Cru or yet. No, I think no. Bärenreiser for your children at one point will probably, that is one of those vineyards which will be upgraded to a Grand Cru, if you ask me. But right now we're only starting at Premier Crus, which you are starting to, in all this Danube area, you guys are gonna start to establish this vineyard classification, which we are trying to get into law. And I know it's 6 o'clock and I talk too much, and Antoinette gives me the okay that it's fine, it's all right, we can keep talking. I just want to keep drinking. That's all I want to do right now, because I have Anna Christina in my glass. So I'm going to go out of this map, and I want to get the whole faces in. I want to see Christina. And thank you, Christina, for making such delicious wines.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for showing them. Yeah. So I just wanted to add that we are the first and only red wine region with classified Premier Cru wines or vineyards now. So it's the only red wines in Austria that have classified Premier Cru origins. And the Grand Cru will follow, I think, in the next 10 years. But it is this is a very important thing we have to evaluate and work on for the next years. We cannot do that. That's never a quick decision to do something like that. It's actually done for the next generation already.
Take your time, because it's only going to raise the price. So just take your time. I'll drink Anna Christina now. And then my children can pay twice as much once it becomes a Grand Cru.
That's the goal, Klaus. This is why we are doing it. No, I think that this is a very important system to show the importance of the different vineyards and of the special and most important places we are working with. And this is where we are growing our wines and where we are soothing our wines. Actually, it's we are following them. We are the winemakers. We are part of it. We can do our best out of it, but it is grown in the vineyard, and that's the base of it. That's where everything is starting. And if you have a special place, you can produce special wines. So yeah, that's it. That's just my opinion on the wine production.
I really want to go back in there before I go to Antoinette and give you the last word here. But I really want to emphasize in this, this is wine from a region, from a winery, which really puts their mind and thought into what they grow, what they do with the grapes. It's not a trendy wine, it's nothing. This takes years and generations to build. And we are just at the beginning stages for that. And that's one of the reasons why Christina also wanted to separate that. This Netzel producer is Austria's top red wine producer. Makes really good white wines too. Don't forget the Chardonnay. I know you don't think Chardonnay, Austria, it's damn good, Grüner too. But when it comes to red wine, Anna Christina is in a completely different league. And also the Zweigelts from Netzel are in a totally different league than what you would associate with Zweigelt, you know. And I'm going to shut up now, because I'm going to just get myself in trouble.
Excellent. Well, thank you, everyone. And I know you sort of had some closing remarks there, but Christina, Klaus, and Nick, any final thoughts before we say goodnight?
I still have this, so I get to come back, right?
You bring it back.
If it's empty, you can come back. If you spit the wine out, no. Good, you can come.
I can't add anything more than from day one when I first tried the Netzel wines and was introduced to Christina and her family, they have blown me away. And pound for pound, buck for buck, no matter what you're looking for, if you want to impress somebody with a bottle of wine, go find the higher end Zweigelts and the Anna Christina by all means. You will not be disappointed. You can throw it in front of your friends that buy $100 bottles of wine and say, look, I've gotten more wine for my $100 than you did, and my wine is better. It's just absolutely one of the best reds that I've had in my life. And I can't wait for all the future vintages of this wine because it's always been spectacular. Thank you, Christina. Prost.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you so much. For the nice tasting, for the possibility, for the invitation. Thank you, Klaus, for your for all your help, for the great presentation. You're doing such a great job for all the Austrian winemakers. It's unbelievable.
Well, I need to send them all to school with you so they can learn from you how to present themselves, because you are the master. You know how to really bring it across, to show your feelings, and it shows in the wine. At the end of the day, it's in the wine. So thank you to you and to your dad and to your family and to the next generation too. I can't wait to come and visit you guys. I haven't seen the little one yet.
You don't know her.
No. Thank you, Antoinette.
Of course. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, Christina, Klaus, and Nick. It's been a great pleasure and honor to have you, Christina. These wines are part of our Cork and Fork heritage now. We've been carrying them for so long. For those viewing, we appreciate your interest in the great wines of Austria. We encourage you to visit our website calendar at corkandfork.co to view the upcoming Austrian wine events we have with some of the region's greatest producers, such as our guest this evening. So once again, Christina, thank you. Klaus, I'll see you on Saturday. And you too, Nick. Everyone, I'm going to end the meeting for all, and good night.
Good night. Thanks, Antoinette. Thank you, Christine.
Have a good night. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining.